Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris.
And on today's show, we have Will Levy. Hey, Will.
Hi, Will.
Hello. What's Yay. Up?
So thanks for joining us. Before we get into the show, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners and giving us a background on how you got into photography?
Yeah. My name is Will. We've established that. And
hey,
I
Will.
Play guitar in a band. And I got into photography because I started to travel a lot when I was young. And my grandpa was traveling a ton. And he always had photos displayed all over his house from wherever it was. And it's not even that the photos were necessarily good or like, you know, awe and dropping or whatever. But
yeah,
jaw-dropping, sorry. But he was documenting what he was, where he was going and what he was seeing. And I was interested at a very early age from that. And that's kind of how I got into it.
So were you always shooting film or did you go down the digital way first? A lot of times people switch, like find it later, you know?
Yeah, I just started with like the disposable camera, to be completely honest.
Okay. Oh,
like,
cool.
It was like, I just was like, oh, you can get these for cheap at a store because digital cameras at the time I was getting into it were, that was the thing. Film cameras like weren't, it was back to being really underground and not
right.
like, a thing as it is now. So I was just buying disposables, probably spending way too much money on that.
Yeah.
And then at some point somebody gifted me like an Olympus stylus, like the little
Yeah.
And just said, dude, like just buy film.
Yeah.
Stop spending your money here, narrow it down. And then now the list goes on of like cameras. So
So the jump from the disposable to the Olympus is obviously, was that kind of like mind-blowing? Because you're like, oh, it's a plastic lens. Because it is. It's like, whoa, hold on a second. Now we're talking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I still like wasn't like getting really like technical about anything. I just was documenting. I didn't know what film stock, what ISO I needed, all that stuff. I had no clue. I was just like, this looks cool. I've seen somebody shoot this. So if we're going to go and record a record in Canada that's in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
I'll just bring a bunch of film and just shoot it on one camera. Like just blew through tons of film and like it all looks the same to me. Like it's all the same. And I wasn't focused on trying to take a good photo.
Right.
I just wanted to document the experience. And that was way more important to me than trying to be good.
Yeah. I'm a huge like point and shoot fan. And sometimes it, you know, because it kind of gets you, you're out of your own way. You know what I mean? You could just focus on capturing the moments, which is why I like love point and shoots, especially when situations like that, you're like, I don't want to be having to pull out a meter. I don't want to have to like say it's too dark in here. You know, you just want to like get the emotion of what's happening.
Yeah. And I still want to be present in the moment and in the experience because I'm still experiencing what everyone else is trying to be a part of. I wasn't like, there just to take photos. I'm also there to experience something.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, be part of a group. So it's very easy for a disposable or a point and shoot just to like have it. And it's very, it helps for like candid moments, I think. Cause you're not pulling out a light meter, like you said, and like, all right, let's hold on. Wait, do that again.
It's
like,
yeah.
It's very much more in the moment and more present.
It just always bums me out because I was like, I wish I was like your grandpa and I wish I was like you of where the, you know, photography kind of hit me at
Timothy.
That point where, because like, you know, I used to play in bands and we would go into studios and do all that stuff. And that whole chunk is missing minus a couple show videos that I've gotten passed down throughout the way. And, you know, I still have the great memories of it and whatnot, but like, it would be so cool to see the pictures of that time. Like, oh, I'm such a moron.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I started way earlier, like in high school kind of thing, because I didn't start doing it until I was like 20 something years old, like 25 maybe.
Yeah.
And at that point, I had been touring for 5 years or a couple. It had already been so much time. I was like, oh, I wish I had done this so much longer ago.
Uh-huh. Do you ever get to use any of your photography for band stuff, for like album art or promotion or anything like that? Do you ever get to use any of your photos?
Our last record, Proper Dose, the album cover is like two photos that I took combined.
Oh, so
just
good.
One of them, and just lay it on top of each other. And then the back of it are also photos that I took. And then the inside on like one of the deluxe editions has like a flip book of physical copies of like some photos of us recording.
Oh, cool.
So that was pretty fun to be like a part of. And I think Kevin, the other guitar player in Story So Far, also was getting into like film photography. And I think he has photos in it. I'm pretty sure he does. But at this point, it's kind of like, I don't know who's is what and who's done what at this point. But yeah, I've done a few like album artwork things.
Man.
It kind of isn't like something I like go and try and make happen with the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
It honestly has been a lot more organic of just like, I posted this photo on my Instagram and then somebody reaches out and go, wow, that thing is really cool. Can we use it for this? I'm like, sure. You saw something that I didn't see.
Right.
I just like the photo because it's like a picture of my dog. But like, if you think it's worthy of being artwork, hell yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, that's
sick. Yeah.
But I don't know. I just don't see it in that manner. It's just like, again, it all kind of just goes back to just documenting.
Yeah.
And keeping track of things.
So good. So what happened after the...
What came next?
The epic. Yeah, what happened after the Olympus? What was your next camera?
Oh, the Olympus. Let's see. I think I got another one because it broke.
Yep.
They do that. Yep.
And I was still just like, I didn't really know what. And I think the real like first like good point and shoot I got was like a Yashica T4.
Yeah. Ooh,
there you go, Chris.
Scope.
That's my baby.
So that one broke over time, but that one lasted a very long time. And I dropped that thing about 100 times and it was kind of a tank.
Well, yeah, they're pretty durable.
And then I replaced that and I literally sold and shipped it off this week.
Oh,
because I was over it.
You're over it.
Yeah.
I was over it. I was over point and shoot. To be honest.
Okay. That's
like,
fair.
I love it. And I just was like, I don't know. Maybe I it's one of those things of like, do I have too many options?
Right.
Sometimes having so many options isn't the best move. So I kind of just stuck with one. And that is usually like a Canon AE-1 program.
Beautiful.
Because that was like the next purchase was an AE-1. And that thing's kind of been everywhere with me. I take it on tour all the time, and it's hitting that point where it's just so obvious that you have a camera out and you're walking around wherever you are, and it's just like, I miss the T4 because you can just put it in your pocket or in a bag. This thing is like you're carrying this fucking thing around.
Yep
And it's way more obvious, but I just love the results that I've been getting with that. So, and it's a little more involved. So, that's kind of like the thing I'm trying to pursue is, you know, learning a little bit more, diving a little bit more into film.
I love that. Well, as you're saying that, I'm thinking of like some of our friends who like carry around like RBs like on photo walks and not trying to be conspicuous at all.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
So I saw on your Instagram, are you also getting your feet wet and developing? Home developing too?
Yeah. So when the wonderful 2020 year hit us, I was like, oh, I'll just like start developing black and white at home because I wanted to try black and white. I heard it was the easiest to do. And I'm also kind of colorblind.
So oh, no.
Focusing on color film for that wouldn't really make sense for me.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a few successes doing the home developing, and then I've had a lot of mishaps.
Oh,
and it all seems to just happen of getting the film out and onto the reel.
Yeah.
And then into the tank. And the first one I did was, like, to me, a total disaster. Just, like, trippy lines everywhere. And, like, the film was sticking to itself. So part of it was exposed. Yeah. Part of it wasn't. And I'm like, fuck, I just wasted, like, so much money. That was a good, that was a cool role. And it wasn't until, like, you know, way down the line, my girlfriend's like, dude, these are really cool. Like, you should do something with these. These are awesome. I'm like, I don't see what you see.
Yeah. I'm not seeing it.
But, like, now I kind of get it. And so I've tried a little bit more developing, and I've messed up countless of times. And now I just kind of like, well, that's the picture now. There's nothing I can do about
it.
And that's just what it is. And I kind of like that. So I'm kind of learning to live with it and accept it.
Yeah, I see. I live by that. I love the grit. It's funny. I never try to do things the way the book tells you to do it when it comes to developing, just because of I like those little mistakes. I like when it looks grimy and dirty. And don't get me wrong, you know, I do want it to look pretty and stuff too. And I try, if I know it's like something super important, I'm you know, kid gloves all over the thing. But I love like having my temperature too high when I'm doing color, or you know, just using. There's one time I used color developer that was a year old that it looked like tar or coffee, like black coffee in the thing. And I'm like, I'm going to try it and see if it works. And it worked. Like it's,
I mean, that's the fun of kind of what we do and just kind of art in general. It's just like, there really are no rules, because no matter what, even if you go by the book, you're still going to get different results.
Yeah.
And no matter what, I feel like I kind of fall into like, man, I will never get that photo, but it's like, but I have this.
Yeah.
Right.
And that that feeling of like, but I have this instead is like, that's kind of new for me. And that's like a tough thing to like accept. It's like, but I have this now. And this is, nobody else can have this. I do this.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of like, you know, I would imagine people who like expose their film on purpose or like soup their film. It's like, they're have that mentality.
It's
like,
a gamble.
Okay.
It's a gamble every time.
I mean, but they've like they've let go.
Yeah.
They've completely let go of any control, and that's cool. That's, you know, I don't know if I have that.
I don't have it.
That gamble. Even developing is like, you know, letting go enough.
Man. So have you narrowed down some film stocks that you like now, or are you still kind of just like shooting whatever you can get your hands on type thing?
Yeah. I really, really love like Kodak 400 D-Max.
Oh, yeah. Great film. Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. It's just perfect.
It is. It's such a good one.
Like the contrast on it is great. Saturation is great. And I also really love, what is it? 3200 Delta. That one's like, because it's, that's one that I've done a lot of home developing with. And the reels always are different for me.
Same for me. Yeah.
Every time it's so different. And I'm like, these are so rad. Like, they're so grainy. They makes everything look 100 years old. And I just really like that. True. For like color, I would say like Color Plus 200.
Hey.
It's good stuff.
And I would throw that in the T4 and like, it looks like a movie.
Yeah. That combination, there's something about the T4 and the Color Plus.
Yeah. It, you know, it's just like, it's a perfect photo and you get it back and like, I don't ever really remember taking that photo. That's not what I saw with my eyes, but the camera saw this. So thank you, camera.
It's almost trippy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's weird. To me, it's like almost like 90s nostalgia for sure with that film stock. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because like I have a couple bricks of it, because when the whole price hike stuff, the first rumors of it were coming out, I remember picking up a bunch of it because it's a great film. And I've only ever shot two rolls of it. And one was at like a cemetery during fog. And it was really light grain and just real kind of moody. There is like I hate saying cinematic, but it's like such a cinematic. It's really got a good.
But it is like it's so rich. There's something about it. You're like, this just this should be on a big screen.
Right. That's exactly, it's rich. That's the word.
Yeah. Yeah. Rich.
And you kind of need to be rich to afford it now.
I know.
I know.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. So the AE1, that's your jam. I love to see it. Has music like inspired your photography at all, or vice versa, do you think? We talk about like inspiration, like where music and inspiration a lot on this show. So I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of go hand in hand, especially with like, I don't know, the history of rock and roll and where it is. And yeah, I mean, for one thing, like, especially live photography. And for me, like seeing like old pictures of like Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young and like the Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah.
There's like, I think it's Neil Preston took this photo and he's like he's at the back of the stage. So you get the backs of everyone, but you have the whole Coliseum in front of these dudes. And I'm like, it's like the craziest photo I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Just for like a bunch of guys who are like singing beautiful harmonies together, acoustic guitars and kind of jamming. It's like, kind of looks hard. Like it gives it this like really tough perspective and it just makes everything seem larger than life. I have like a Led Zeppelin like photo book and just some of the photos in there, just like you can hear Jimmy Page's guitar just through the photo, even if it's black and white and it's just him, or there's a picture of Bonham or something. And I'm like, oh man, he's smacking the shit out of those drums right now.
Yeah.
And like, I can just see it and feel it in those photos. And yeah, I think they kind of do go hand in hand, because I've had a few opportunities to shoot like live music and I want that feeling. I want to emulate that. I want someone to look at the photo and hear how loud it is and feel it like you're almost in the room. And I think that's, I don't know, they definitely go hand in hand. And I just, there's such a cool relation with it. And I've, you know, I tried shooting a show last night. I went to one last weekend and I don't know the rules of it. I was like completely like, I'm almost like a poser. I'm like Googling like, well, what film stock should I use here? And I just was like, nah, suck that. I'm just going to like,
just
see
go
what
for
I have
it.
In my fridge and I'm just going to go for it. And I'll just kind of, you know, double expose this. I'll try, you know, a manual exposure on this one and like see what happens. I don't even think any of these will turn out. And then you get a rollback and you're like, damn, cool. Like, it was a complete confidence boost.
That's the best.
I just think there's always like a good place for it, for music and photography to be connected and you know, intertwined. And like, that's why I love music so much too. It's like there is such an image to it and there's such a, like an attitude with it, and a lot of that has to do with like these people capturing these moments to make sure that they kind of stick around. It almost like they're not human at that point,
right?
Like some of these artists and in those photos, you're like, dude, those are gods. You know,
especially like the live aspect is one thing, but I really like, my dream would be, because Timothy and I kind of both, well, he was playing, he was in the bands, but I like started photography because of bands, because of music. Like high school friends were in bands and that's when I discovered photography. So that's like my favorite photography to do, is like to be a fly on the wall in the studio or like document a tour.
It's just the best.
It's just like like you said, you're capturing this moment in time that people, you know, if you think about all the legends like the Beatles and stuff like in the 60s and 70s, you look at those photos now and you're like, what a time, you know?
Yeah.
And thank God somebody was there to capture that. I mean,
thank God. Well, and then there's like photos of like George Harrison with like, you know, a fisheye lens. And I'm like, I got to get a fisheye lens now.
Yep.
George had one?
Yep.
Now I need one. And I swear to God, I bought one like a couple years ago. I was like, fuck this. I definitely need one, because he was taking photos on him and he thought it was important enough wherever he was going to document these things. And, you know, what's cool of like meeting bands and artists, it's like you have to build a comfort level to be that fly on the wall.
Sure.
Yeah. You have to build this like trust and this like, you know, friendship almost. I mean, it should be a friendship and it's not like a business transaction. Well, we just hired this person to like document the whole thing. It's like, I can never just hire somebody to go on tour with me just to document the thing. it has to be somebody I know
right.
and I'm comfortable with. And when they pull the camera out, like, yeah, I'm not going to, you know, be weird about it. This is very right. natural versus like, let's smile.
Oh, yeah. I know what I'm doing.
And you almost don't even want to think about it. And it takes a certain kind of person to be very aware of where they are mm-hmm. and
right.
how they're interacting with these people. And then you take those relationships with you for forever.
So true.
That's really special.
Man, someday.
Yeah, totally. That's like, you know, I think it's both of our dreams to be the fly on the wall or the friend in mm-hmm. the, you know, riding shotgun.
Right.
But I wanted to ask with, you know, you being out on the road and stuff like that, have you been seeing more film cameras and kids shooting
Good
stuff
question.
Like that when you're out? Like, has the popularity
100%.
Just... Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Yeah,
I needed to know. I needed to hear that.
And I'm like, I'm also like totally that person who just like has a film camera out with them at a show, and like I don't give a shit. That's fine.
Yeah, to me, we kind of talk about that a lot too. To me, the more the merrier. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's
yeah.
no point because we, you know, Timothy and I have been in it for a little bit, but when I see like a teenager with a film camera, I'm like, yes.
Oh yeah.
You know,
It's the same kind of feeling of like that. And then from my perspective of like seeing younger people into like punk rock music and rock
yeah.
music and
yeah.
wanting to start bands. And I'm like, dude, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Go and start a band. That's hella sick. What, like,
yeah.
what am I going to stop you? I would never.
Right.
Like, please play music. Like, be like, get in a room together and create that, you know, that energy. And it's the same for film. It's just like, mm-hmm. dude, the more the merrier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I didn't get into it on my own. Somebody showed me the way.
Right. Right.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of got to remember that part. You got to remember, like, you were once that kid.
Oh, yeah.
Who didn't know anything about this. And, you know, can't really judge people.
It's like
on that.
A friendly reminder to everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were once at the bottom. No, but I feel like it's
everyone,
like.
Everyone, be nice.
Be nice. That's
For real.
The main message.
For real.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, when we see these things, it's like, okay, you're in on it. Like, you're in the club. Like, you know how good this is. You know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's my favorite part.
And, like, they probably know something that we don't.
Sure.
And if, you know, they could always show you something and, like, they're probably going to be better than me. So, like, please join us.
Yeah, there's something to be said about the generation that's only had digital. You know, they've only like had their phones to use. And it's like, I kind of, it would be cool to do like a retrospective of like what their photography looks like what their eye sees differently than somebody who's like started.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're definitely going to see things in a completely different manner than we are. And they're probably quicker.
Yeah, true.
100%. Just thinking of watching like a YouTube video of the quick cuts. Everything's like 3-second clips.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And they like whip these videos together in like seconds. And I'm like trying to edit a video and it's taken me like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It took me so
Same.
Long.
Man, it just always feels good when the youth is doing things. Because, I mean, like Chris was saying, we were doing this for a while now. And, I mean, I remember when we first started this podcast, a lot of the topics on the show were always, is film going to be around? And is this just a, you know, what did Dave Bias say? He said, like, the dead cat bounce of, like, it's like its last. He was pretty much sold on the fact that it was its last hurrah, like, 6 years ago. And we were like, no.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then just, like, the last couple years, boom, like, it's insanity.
eBay says differently.
Yeah. Which,
exactly.
I mean, come on. Thank you so much. Like, what a relief.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm glad it's still around.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what
I'd do. Not having access to that, I would just be like, well, am I just going to only do digital? Like, and I have digital cameras and like, I just don't have the motivation to practice it.
Mm.
Like I probably
100%.
Could have went to these shows within the week and used my digital camera, but I was like, no, it's going to be cooler if it's on film. And if it's not, then, you know, that's the learning curve for me is to figure out what I did wrong.
Mm.
Whereas like digital to me is like a safety blanket almost.
Mm-hmm.
Not discrediting that it's easy to take a good shot on digital, but that can go home and edit it 1,000 ways afterwards.
Yeah.
And like, I can look at it in the moment and adjust things. And it's like, or I can just have one film stock for the night.
Right.
And I have 36 shots and I got to figure out the best way to get 36 shots or however many I need or once. Mm. And I kind of like, I don't know, that's like a lust for it, if you will. Yeah. Like it's really...
It makes it so much more special, those 36 frames, you know?
Yeah, because you could take 30 of the same shots that you used one or two frames for, and you're like, well, which one's the best? You're like, dude, there's literally no way to fucking tell. Which, it's all just going to be, you just have to pick one.
Yeah.
That reminds me of like calling weddings back in the day when I've, you know, sprayed and prayed and then been like, okay, well, this one or this one. It's like, this. It's the same. Like this one or this one or this one. Like this, they're still the same.
You know? I've done like family portraits for my my brother and like his family. And I'm like, here, you guys pick what you want to edit.
Good luck.
And then I'll figure it out afterward. He's like, dude, there's like 300 photos. I was like, well, I don't know, man. Like,
let me tell you about what happens with digital.
Yeah. Like, and I have to edit all these. He's like, but these ones are kind of blown out. I'm like, but dude, like, I can fix that. I just, no, let me, you just pick what you want and I'll make them look better.
Man.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
So do you think this photography thing, obviously we hope it stays with you, but is there plans to put out like a book of your travels and tours and studio stuff? Or like a zine at least?
I've done a couple zines in the past, name and just sell them on tour.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's great for the fans too. That's great.
Yeah. It's been cool. Surprisingly, like they don't sell. Like, people are interested in shirts I'll send you guys some. I have a couple, I have a few copies left. You know, it's like, it's a very small markets, if you will, or a crowd that like is like, oh yeah, like, because to me, I'm like, dude, if my favorite band had these things, and they did when I was growing up, and I would try and get them.
Yeah,
I want to see the fly in the wall perspective, and I want to see the studio stuff. I think a lot of it is like, it's tough because Instagram and TikTok and Twitter social media thing is like, everything's pretty much exposed already. Mm. The mystery is like almost gone, if you will, which is cool because there's access to these things, but it's also like, you kind of like, it's cool to leave people guessing in a way and leave them questioning what really is happening. I have about a million layouts for a book in my computer right now of just like, one day I'll get to these and I'll do it. And then I've kind of just been like stacking film and just kind of sitting on it. I know Kevin and I talk every now and then of like, dude, we should just do a book and just do it.
Yeah.
And like, we got really deep in the process once and then it just kind of didn't happen. But I think one day it will. It's more of just, do we pick a theme? Do we just wing it? If the band's included, does that mean we have to sell it under the band's moniker? Mm. Like it's...
There's a lot of factors.
Yeah. And like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it just gets a little messy at times, but... Mm-hmm. I would love to do one. I love like making layouts and flipping through the zines that I do have and, you know, getting inspiration of like what looks cool, what doesn't, and just getting fun ideas. But for now, that is not my active like project. I'm not working on a book or anything.
That's a great back burner though, to kind of like fall back on later in time, you know, when you get some downtime again or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like up until like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I hadn't shot any film this year, which it's only been a few months, but like, I just like didn't have my camera out and ready. And I just like kind of like forgot that I had cameras and film. And then, it's like, man, I'm like kind of like dealing with the whole imposter syndrome. You're just like, what am I even doing? And then you talk to a few friends and they're like, just put your camera out somewhere that you will pick it up and just take it with you and just like, just shoot. Don't
put
have
it with your keys or something.
Yeah, don't have a motive with it. Just shoot. I was like, okay, and that completely like got me out of whatever rut I was in, and now I'm like, all right, let's
go.
Time to go.
Let's go and shoot some photos, and like maybe they'll be cool, maybe they won't. The thing I am working on at the moment is like a music video that we shot for a band called Same Side, which is Kevin of Story So Far has his own solo project.
Cool.
And he was like, you should just shoot. I was borrowing a Super 8 camera and I had a bunch of film left over. And I said, hey, let's just like, let's, I got to send this camera back. Let's finally make this video that we've been talking about. So we went and did that. And I got all the film back last week and have been like, you know, organizing it and kind of combing through it. And also got to shoot behind the scenes stuff for it. Just kind of was all very much in the moment, just like document everything that I can filming everything.
Mm.
Dan, Super 8 is so cool, but it is so expensive.
I know.
So expensive. Yeah.
It's crazy, but it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, I don't think that I could get that with a digital camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same kind of attention to like the purpose of like, you can't just shoot and then figure it out later.
Mm-hmm.
You're almost editing very much in the moment.
Yeah.
Now that you're out in the field and you have it all set up and the shot is ready, you got to like walk through it a few times. Like, you know, I've never shot a music video. So this was all like, I mean, I guess this is what we do.
Yeah. Sure.
But it was super cool and like really, really tough. And like some shots that I tried definitely did not work out.
Yeah.
Some really did. And they look really cool to me, but it was kind of cool of like, oh, so the thing that we tried didn't really work, but I think I know what we can do next time to actually make it work. And it's like
always learning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're just learning with it constantly. And you're a lot more aware of what you need to be shooting and viewing.
I really need to shoot more Super 8. I love that 3-minute restraint. Like, I just love that. I love stuff like that. Yeah.
It's like a joke to me, man.
Yeah.
Like, I go through this whole process filming it, and then you ship it back, and then you get it back, and it's like this file that's 12 minutes long, and like,
oh.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. But again,
but like, then you're not sitting there sifting through hours of footage. Mm-hmm. You have limited yourself. Like you're, like I said, you're editing in the moment almost. And that also saves you a lot of time. And the purpose of it is very like focused. And it's really cool. But yeah, shoot more Super 8.
That
editing in the moment is tricky because I'm always like afraid I'm going to run out. So I like won't shoot, you know? I'm always like,
yeah,
and it's out.
Yeah,
the first roll I ever had with like a Super 8 was just like, short burst because I didn't know, you know, the extent of it all, and then got that back and I looked, I was like, oh god, that's not what I was thinking this was gonna look like, and then you figure it out as you go on.
Yeah.
You can hold it down for more than 2 seconds.
Yeah,
surprise.
Just hold your breath. So when does that come out? Do you have like a release date?
Like, no, there's like no release date, no deadline. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
I'll let you guys know when it will be out. We were supposed to edit today and that didn't work out. So I think we'll have it edited within like the next week. It's kind of the goal.
That's exciting. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
So, okay. Projects. Is there anything that you're, you know, besides, you know, the band photography or anything, is there anything else like personally that you like to shoot project wise? Or do you just kind of stick with when you're in the moment of the music and doing all that stuff?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I don't seek after like going into like modeling photography or anything like that. It's still very much just a hobby that like I try and hustle to make some money from, but like it's very much hobby based, and I just kind of do it just to do it, and sometimes things work out. I have been pushing more to like, you know, like you said, like music and band photography, whether it's live stuff or like portraits of the band. I've had a few opportunities from a magazine out in England to do like cover shoots.
Oh that's great.
It's cool. Man, it's an incredible opportunity. And those are the kind of like the moments where I feel like I almost blow it, you know? It's way too meditated and I'm way too like, let's like go and do this versus being very much just present and like just take a shot.
Right.
Then it becomes something bigger than it ever was and I ever intended it to be. And I think I get in my head easily of like kind of psyching myself out. But they get used. Like the photos come back. Sometimes they get used. Sometimes they don't. And that's been fun. And once you get one, you're like, oh, like, okay, mm-hmm. this is really cool. Now I have this on my platform. I can try and do more of that. So that's been something I've been like trying to pursue a little bit more, which is kind of why I've stepped into more like trying to shoot live shows, just to kind of get myself in the room, meet people, make friends, build connections, and, you know, hey, next time you guys come through town, let's like go spend 30 minutes. Like, that's the other thing is I don't want to spend more than like 20 to 30 minutes doing it. Because I've been on the other side of the camera where some person is like, all right, we're going to go here and like, okay, get your leg up. And then I'm like, that is not who I want to be.
Yeah. You mean bands don't like that? Really? Oh, man.
Now, we all want you to jump right now.
Yeah, can we jump?
Hey, man, some bands really want that direction and really want that, like, let's make this photo shoot wild. And they look cool. That's just not something that, like, interests me on either end of the lens. I just, like, I don't know, take a photo of a cool wall. I don't know. I don't want to be directing people too strictly, because I've been on the other position and it's like, it's just so uncomfortable, to be honest, for me personally. I just like, and then the band, everyone else kind of starts to feel awkward, you know, it's like, who is this guy? Like, I don't know. Why, like,
how do we get here?
What are we doing here? Yeah, like, what are we actually doing here? This doesn't really seem right. Okay, let's just get this over with as quickly as possible. And then you're like, then you're left with this like weird taste in your mouth, right? Whereas like, I'd rather just be like, yo, we did this photo shoot with Will and it took like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It was sick.
Yeah.
We like were able to go back to the gig real quickly and like, then he like chilled or he, you know, went somewhere else and that was fine.
That was it.
Like, yeah, that's kind of what that's more or less the energy
but
I'm trying to
But I feel
have.
Like, honestly, first of all, film lends itself really well to that like laid back kind of thing, because you can get a really good lens, get some natural light, get everybody doing a cool pose, and that's all you need. And so that's honestly some of my favorite work. It's just like, oh, you could tell this was like next to the venue and they were just chilling and somebody got a group shot.
Yep.
I much prefer looking at that versus like, you know, the overproduction type stuff. I mean, there's a time and a place for both, but
there's a time and a place for both. But the things that like resonate with me is like just way more natural and like organic. Wow, they happen to get a picture of the whole band in one shot. Like, there's like the beauty in that, I think.
Mm. I love that.
Man, I have a music photographer question for you. Mm. So this is a battle I struggle with all the time. I probably talked about it on the show a handful of times with people, especially like people who do other kinds of art. Do you ever feel like the tug of war between music and photography, or do you kind of just let the photography be its own little fun, spontaneous thing? Because like when I try to go through like a writing period, you know, I got a guitar and I'm working on a song and then I'm looking outside and I'm like, damn, the clouds are perfect. Like that's my weather right there, but I'm sitting here doing this instead. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have any kind of battle like that?
Every day of my life, dude.
Okay, I'm not the only one. Like, thank you.
No, I mean, I've had to, like, my office is set up in like this back room of my apartment that has no windows, and like I need to treat that like a recording studio where I can't look outside.
Mm. Okay.
Let alone have it like looking outside and like, I mean, it's beautiful out today. Yeah. And I'm like, I just want to go on a bike ride. I don't even need to bring a camera. It's so nice outside. And that's more my struggle. But
okay,
I think they really complement each other for me, because I've had moments of like, you get stuck in a rut of, man, I'm trying to write and no guitar riff or song I'm trying to make is sticking. Mm. And then it's like, oh, well, let's put writing on hold for today and let's go outside and drive and shoot this music video real quick. Mm-hmm. And that fresh perspective, but you're still being really creative, but it's something completely different.
Yeah.
Then it'll re-spark kind of the other thing that you are struggling with. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but like it is good to like set it down and then go and do something else. Maybe that helps, you know, re-spark that creative energy that you were seeking with something else. That usually helps me. yeah, that's usually how I kind of like solve that riddle, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's just a great way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other way around as well. It's like mm-hmm. you're shooting film constantly. And you're like, oh yeah, like I do play guitar. Like, I need to play guitar a little bit. This is getting kind of old and kind of boring for a minute. Where everything I'm doing is just, I'm not really confident mm-hmm. in these results. But if I play guitar, like that might kind of help. And it's just, you know, they do balance each other out, I think.
You're right. Now that you say that, I'm starting to feel that a little more. And when we had Ed Templeton on the show, I kind of asked him the same thing about his photography and his art. I was like, well, how do you, you know, don't you feel like you're, and he's like, well, no, I don't get upset if I'm working on one or the other. He's like, I get upset when I sit down and watch TV for 20 hours instead of, you know, doing something that I'm passionate about. I'm like, damn, you're right. All right.
I mean, I feel the same. I'll like play video games and I'm like, I could be doing something so productive right now, but this video game is sick.
It's so much fun.
I'm gonna play this for a little bit longer. And all of a sudden, like, the sun is down. You're like,
oops.
Right. Well, there's tomorrow. Yeah, I know. It's like you kind of just, I totally feel Ed on that. Of just like, you just have that like, dude, why don't I just like sit here and watch TV for so long?
Yep.
I probably should have like been working.
Yeah, the struggle.
You need breaks though. You need
you
to
do.
Like
you
there's,
do.
There's moments when you need to power through, and then there's moments where you need to just refresh everything. And only you really know when that time is. Nobody else can really figure that out for you.
So true. Yeah. I work best when the fire's chasing me, so I get that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, it also like prevents burnout too. You're not like burnt out on one way or the other if you're actively like, you know, putting your creative juices to different things.
Yeah, totally. You kind of get to spread them out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I listened to the Ed episode and that's so sick. He's like
legend.
He's so rad. He's amazing. I've never met him, but like I'm a huge Toy Machine fan and his photography is so sick.
I know. He's a nut.
Yeah, he's
just
a sweetheart too.
Just like an absolute legend. That's so sick he got him on.
I know. I still can't believe it. One of my childhood best friends too. I was like, yeah, we also had like Ray Barbie and all. He's like, I don't care, you had Ed Templeton on the show. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And it's funny, like there are people who don't know who Ed Templeton is.
I know. Mm-hmm. Mind blown.
Ed Templeton, like, come on.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with listener question for Will right after this message from our sponsor. Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We talk shop. We develop some film. We laugh. We have fun. We also try to get a former guest for these. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Patreon is the best way to support the show. Thanks.
All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners, and we're actually going to get hit with Will with two questions today. We'll do a photo question and a music question, because why not?
Yay.
The first question comes from John Thatcher, and he asks, would you ever shoot intimate portraits of touring mates, easy access / unique people to shoot?
Yes, I would, if I grew the confidence to ask people to like step aside and like, hey, let me like do this like picture thing. Well, what's it for? I don't know, just like for me to have. I would. I thought about doing that a couple summers ago and I just never really got around to doing it.
Mm.
You know, it kind of goes back to like why I take pictures. It's like, I still really want to be a part of the moment and not like quote unquote working.
You're sure.
But I also know that it probably will only take like 5 minutes at most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe my goal is the next tour that I go on, you know, I just start asking around because I, you know, it's one of those things. It's like those photos do resonate with me.
Yeah.
I've seen them from books and, you know, magazines and, you know, on the internet of like, you know, this is Ozzy Osbourne backstage, just approaching
right.
Like, damn, whoever got to take that photo, that's cool. That's sick.
Yeah.
So, I'll give it a shot on the next one I go to.
So here, the confidence thing is like, I struggle with that a lot too. You just, once you get past the question, it's going to go one of two ways, right?
Yeah. Yeah, or nay.
Yeah. And once you get a yes, you're like, all right, cool. Like, that wasn't that scary, you know? And I feel like people on these tours, like, they know you, they see your camera, they know you're not going to like make them look terrible, or, you know, they obviously know who you are and trust you. So yeah, you should start pulling people aside and get that Ozzy Osbourne shot.
All right. I'll
you can do
with
it.
Travis Barker.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, man.
I mean, I get it. I feel you.
Yeah, my guy. So what are you doing right now?
Yeah.
Hey, Travis, can I ask you a question real quick?
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
But yes, the answer is yes. I'll try it.
Here I go. Like, oh, yeah, Will, go ahead. Meanwhile, if it was me and Travis Barker, I'd be like,
Ah, dude, this, yeah. I'm just nervous about being in the same vicinity as them. I'm just like, oh, my God. All right. Hopefully they don't think I'm a complete loser, but they probably will.
No, stop it.
No.
Man. Yeah. I just want to piggyback off that question and ask, like, do you have a favorite portrait or show shot that you've gotten through since you've been doing this photography thing? Is there a shot that sticks out where you're like, I love this shot. Like, it's my favorite. You remember the moment kind of deal.
I got to shoot this band called Mom Jeans. That we toured with last year.
Name.
So we were on tour together and they were like, if you want to like practice a little bit and like, you know, take shots of the band every night, let's figure something out. And so I did, and they were like, just, there are no limits. You can walk all over stage, you can do anything you want.
Cool.
I got a cool one of the drummer Austin, but you know, he was rocking some cool shit and it just looked cool. And I was like, holy shit, can't believe I took that kind of thing. So shout out Mom Jeans.
Yeah. Mom Jeans.
Love it.
Yeah, I was just curious if you had one that, you know, stuck with you pretty good like that. All right, let's do question number two. All right, the second question is a music-related question for all the music heads that are listening right now, and this one comes from Jared.S. Nielsen, and they wanted to know favorite overdrive pedal / favorite amp. I want to know too.
All right, so I think my favorite overdrive pedal is probably like just a Boss Blues Driver.
Yeah.
It's hella basic, but it sounds really good. My dad gave me his.
Oh, see?
And so I was like taking that on tour with me. I was like, this is so cool. I mean, he's given me so many pedals over the years that like, it's just rad. We have a cool relationship with that. And then as far as amps go, it really kind of depends. What I love for like my own tone is just a Marshall JCM 800.
Mm.
You know, a 2203, probably like mid 80s. That is the perfect amp. But as far as like my ultimate favorite amp is probably just a Jazz Chorus, like a Roland Jazz Chorus, solid state.
Oh, no. Nice.
It can do everything. And I mean, it takes pedals the best. You can rocks a keyboard super well. You can do vocals through it. Like that to me is just like the all around best amp. They just sound so cool and unique that has been like, I'll never sell mine kind of thing. Like if any amp lives with me forever, it's probably that one because it just can be used in any scenario, I think.
Two really good answers. I love that the Blues Drivers, because I usually play with like a Cinders. It's kind of the TC Electronics Blues Driver pedal-ish. I just love that tone. It's so good. And it can get kind of fuzzy too a little bit.
Gets a little fuzzy. Mm-hmm. I watched like you know, there's like a rig rundown.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Green Day one.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Billy Joe uses the Blues Overdrive pedal. I'm like, that's it? Like, that's the tone? I mean, a lot of other things going on, but like, that's the tone in a nutshell.
Yep.
I'm like, that's awesome. That's like a $100 pedal.
It's
very affordable for an overdrive pedal.
That's great.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah. Man, great answer.
I'll take your guys' word for it.
Chris is taking notes right now.
I could go on about that. Man, cut off.
Okay, now we're going to ask the hard question.
We might know the answer to this.
Might know the answer,
yeah.
If you're stranded on a desert island, you can only shoot one camera for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
It would be my Fujifilm Instax Square 6 camera.
Wow.
Oh.
Curveball.
Good. Yeah.
Because love any other camera, you're not going to be able to see the photos.
Well, no, our mythical magic island, it does have a 1 hour photo hut somehow. Endless batteries and film.
Yeah, you got batteries, film, repair shop.
I still think I would go with the Instax. It's just so fun. And like, mine has like so many features. It has like double exposure on it and like has like comes with like the colored flashes.
Yeah.
You can just kind of do anything and they're just fun and simple. That would be my choice. It's the Instax Fujifilm.
That's
awesome. Yeah. We're big instant heads. So that's that's a win. That's a win for us.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay. There's a second part of this question. Is there any cameras? Have you been going down the eBay rabbit hole lately? Is there something you want you haven't grabbed yet?
I mean, a Leica M6 would be nice.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen any. That's not going to happen soon. Honestly, I just got a rangefinder other day. So, sold the T4 and I was like, I'll just buy another camera.
Yeah.
So I bought a Canonet QL 17.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Legendary camera. Yes.
Those are so
good. I've never used a rangefinder before. So that's kind of like the next thing that I want to kind of figure out and get into. But to be honest, I don't, my geeking out of cameras is still very new. Whereas guitars, I have the endless list.
I need
this guitar and this. For cameras, I'm still kind of it works. The Canon Pro, the AE-1 just works for me.
Right.
I'm so content and happy with that. I don't have a big wish list.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's great, though. We always strive to be there. Chris and I are just gluttons for cameras all the time.
Yeah, all of them.
I mean, if it's not cameras, it's guitars, to be honest.
Right.
It's I go through guitars like no one else.
That was the pandemic for me. I went crazy this pandemic and just bought, and I work in a music store, too. So it's so easy for me to fall in the trap of,
oof.
Yeah,
I don't need dangerous. Another. I don't need another guitar. I don't need another telly. It's how many tellies do you need, Tim?
But this one has this, and
I know
it's.
Oh, I know. I justify.
Yeah, it's blue.
Me and my little brain have that conversation every day. And then there's cameras too. It's a battle.
Yeah, but yeah, probably a Leica M6. That would be cool one day.
It's a hell of a camera.
It is.
Yeah.
Weird. Leica situations happen. Sometimes you could just stumble into one tomorrow. That's how the Leica thing works, I think, sometimes is.
I hope the universe is listening. My phone is definitely listening. I'm going to get ads for Leicas.
I'm pushing it out right now.
I'm just going to put it out there in the universe.
Yes.
If anyone wants to send me one as well, that would be cool.
Yep.
Maybe we could trade.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, you trade a guitar for a camera. Would you do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
Well, good answer. The Leica M6 is legendary.
Nice.
Well, this has been so fun. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast. I really appreciate you guys reaching out and taking the time.
Yeah.
Where can everybody check out your work, your music? Plug away.
My Instagram is just @UncleWooly. Like a woolly mammoth. And then if you want to listen to my band, it's The Story So Far. Your Instagram handle will be The Story So Far CA for California. Yeah.
Awesome.
Nice.
And I'll hopefully get some new stuff out there soon.
Yeah. Timothy, where are you?
I'm on Instagram, Twitter, @TimothyMakeups. There's also some old photography-related videos over on YouTube. Easiest way to find those, just go to the search bar, type in Timothy Makeups. You'll find a bunch of my stuff there. Oh, TimothyMakeups.com too. Chris, where are you?
I am Chris B. Photo on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter and Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Yay. Well, thank you. This is so fun.
Hell
this is
great. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you both.
All right. Definitely. We'll see you guys in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
First off, Kristen, I would love to thank Will for coming on the show. Dude, thanks for taking the time. What a great conversation. What a fun time. It was great getting to meet you, hearing all about your photography and your music, and it's just a blast. A lot of good stuff in that convo. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk for only $1. You can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hang nights over there, and a bunch of stuff in the archives. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. All right, that's it. Will, thanks so much. It was great getting to meet you and hear your story. And until next week, we'll see you with an all-new episode. All right, later.